and Brian,
a voice of this generation.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 57 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always joined by the man who was President Trump's personal tailor during this week's trip to the UK, Brian. Brian, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Splendid. Happy. I feel like the next hour of my life is going to be incredible.
All right. I hope our listeners feel the same way.
I hope so, too.
If not, you wouldn't think they'd be here, but we hope you enjoy it. As always, listen, rate, and review. We love you when you do that. And let's get things rolling with the way we like to start off always, a little bit of drinking.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
So this week we put a couple of summer drinks up against each other. It was the daiquiri versus the mojito. A very one-sided battle. And who came out on top?
Let's take a daiquiri timeout. Daiquiris.
That's right. It was the daiquiri was the winner this week. I didn't even count up the votes, but it was like 65%.
I did. It was 62-38%.
All right.
Clearly... Facebook, our Facebook fans, and that vote, they were all over the daiquiri by a score of 8-5. So it was just, I mean, the public was out there voting this week, all saying, drink the daiquiri. Now, how did you make yours?
All right, so mine, 1.5 ounces of white rum, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup, and 1 ounce of lime juice.
Same here, but right. Except mine was two parts white rum, 1 part lime juice, and then 1/2 part of simple syrup.
Okay, so pretty close. Yeah. I have to admit something to you. I've never had a daiquiri before.
I've had daiquiris, but it's always been like a flavor. Like I've had a banana daiquiri and a strawberry daiquiri. I had a doctor put his finger in my butt once. But I've never had just a plain daiquiri by itself.
All right. Well, you try your plain daiquiri first this week. Tell me how it turned out.
I'm expecting it to be grossly sweet.
You would think so with the simple syrup.
And the simple syrup combining. That's a lot of sugar right off the bat. What I'm wondering is how does the lime juice offset that?
Well, you will find out momentarily. Take a nice sip there. And thoughts?
Ah, daddy like.
Oh, all right. Hopefully I will like this as well. Hold on.
Yeah, there's a, is sweet.
That is quite tasting. It's sweet, but not overly sweet.
No, because the lime juice and the acidity and the lime juice balances it out.
Nice.
Yeah.
All
righty.
What the fuck have I been doing for 48 years where this is the first time I'm having a daiquiri?
Well, let's be honest. You were in Binghamton getting sloshed.
Drinking Alabama Slammers out of plastic test tubes.
You were not properly cultured.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone that voted for the daiquiri. An excellent choice. As always, if you want to recommend some drinks or a theme for Drink of the Week, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or go to our Facebook page, ronandbrianpodcast.com.
You know what I think would be a good drink next week?
Talk to me.
The vodka gimlet.
Are we going the gimlet route again? Because we only threw that out there about 10 or 70 times.
I know. And it kept getting its ass kicked. But eventually it won, and it was not a very good drink. All righty.
All right. So we're going to be enjoying these daiquiris for the rest of the show. So why don't you guys mix up one and join us in a drink while we head on over to This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
So much racism this week, Brian. So much racism. People texting us, messaging us, people sharing with us the stories that they were finding out there.
Well, before we start to this week, I think we've got to talk about the ass whooping that our friends Riley and Lily got last week.
Yes, so we had our two-time defending champs, Riley Grisar and Lily Saxton. They were going up against the Kickapoo High School Racist. The Kickapoo High School Racist kicked them right between the legs, 71% to 29%, sending Riley and Lily to the bench. And now Kickapoo High School Racist, he is going to be on the chopping block. He's going for win number two. Again, I hate to belabor this point each and every week. You called it once again.
It's like reading tea leaves. I mean, some people see a skill. Some people think that it's voodoo. To me, I open my eyes and I open my ears, and it's clear who the winner is going to be. A lot of racism this week. You just hit a point that I would like to reiterate, which is I feel like we're hitting a moment of critical mass, meaning we've started something and it's taking on a life of its own. That I've got people that I consider close friends, colleagues, are reaching out to me to bring racist acts that they are coming across in the media to our attention. And I think that's it's what we've always wanted, partly dreamed of.
And we encourage all of our listeners to do the same thing. If you see a racist story out there that you think we might be missing, we don't want it to fall through the cracks. Hit us up and let us know as well. So again, we've got the Kickapoo High School Racist going to be defending his crown this week. We had a bunch of stories we looked at. These were the ones that we put under serious consideration. Down in Houston, Texas, the manager of a Houston area subway denied a black teenager a position at the store, writing in a text message that she didn't want, quote, those people there. The manager has since been fired, and the franchise owner is encouraging the teenager to apply again. In Watertown, New York, a teacher has been placed on administrative leave after being accused of making black students take part in a mock slave auction. You're saying to yourself, Ron, haven't you done that story already? No, unfortunately, this is the second school in New York that this has happened to. According to a parent of one of the children, two of the African-American students were put in the middle of the class and told they were now slaves, and the white students were given bids to place on them. After the winning bid was placed, the teacher instructed the black students to call the white student master.
So, do we know what the winning bid was?
We are not aware of that. That was not in the story. So the teacher's on leave. School district is looking into that. We did mention we covered a similar story earlier, and we have an update on that.
Racism Rewind.
So the previous mock slave auction we reported on a couple months back, that was at the Chapel School in Bronxville, New York. The teacher in question, Rebecca Antonazzi, has been fired. And the school has agreed to a comprehensive revamp of its diversity policies after meeting with parents. These changes will include the hiring of a chief diversity officer, a promise to diversify staff, more funding to diversify the student body, and a pledge to tighten disciplinary procedures to avoid racially disproportionate punishments. So hopefully a good end to a horrible story there.
Yeah, let's see if we can put that school through some rehab.
This was a story that a number of people pointed out to us in Starkville, Mississippi. A worker at Campground of America has been fired after a viral video circulated of her pulling a gun on a black couple at a lake. Jessica Richardson and her husband went to the lake on Saturday to have a picnic when KOA employee Ruby Howell approached them, pointing a gun at them and telling them that they needed to have reservations. As it turns out, the couple found out from her husband they didn't actually need reservations, they just needed to register arriving at the campground. Howell was arrested this week and charged with a single misdemeanor of threatening exhibition of a weapon. Would you like to hear about white privilege in effect in this story, Brian?
Sure.
So obviously when this went viral, a number of social media users were calling for Howell's arrest. The police explained to the news, quote, "We are waiting on that to happen. They've indicated they'd like to speak with an attorney first, so we're sort of waiting on that to happen. At that point, our intentions would be to investigate this thing fully for any potential criminal charges that could come out of it."
But there's video. There was video showing her. And she was not even holding the gun particularly securely. Like, it looked like it was one of those at any moment that was just going to discharge by itself.
But the amazing thing was, like, yeah, we should probably arrest that person, but we're kind of waiting on it.
What are they waiting for from an attorney?
Apparently, you know, if you are white and you live in Mississippi, you have the option of when you can be arrested for something like that.
All right. Well.
Whereas if the situation were reversed, we'd probably have a couple of dead black people on our hands. Because
I would imagine so.
Mississippi is horribly racist.
I think there's a lot of racism there in the Deep South.
Oh, yeah. Well, and down in Texas, for example, the Texas Association of Sports Officials has suspended high school football referee Mike Atkinson for 1 year after audio of a phone call came to light where he used the N-word repeatedly. Atkinson can reapply for reinstatement for the 2020 season, but that will need to be approved by the association. He said that he understands that the audio sounds bad, but he's not racist because, quote, I'm a jokester. I like to listen to things. I watch black entertainment television all the time because I think it's hilarious.
Now, here's the question. Did he say he watches BET or did he say black entertainment television?
He said black entertainment television.
Then we know he does not watch BET because I don't think that even BET doesn't even refer to themselves as black entertainment television. But he actually had to look that up in his cable guide, and that was how he knew. Guaranteed the man's never watched it. Does he even know what 106th and Park is?
I probably not.
I don't think so.
So actually, talking about the South, but surprisingly, our contender for racist of the week this week is coming from New York City, where an Airbnb host kicked out black guests after calling them, quote, criminals and monkeys. And we have a short bit of audio that they caught from the Airbnb host.
No, it says on the Airbnb description. It says four and a couch. So that's five. You have it on your Airbnb description.
Which monkey's going to stay on the couch?
Which monkey's going to stay on the couch?
Apparently around 1 a.m. on Saturday, the host had told her guests, quote, you need to get the fuck out. You guys are too loud. One of the guests claimed that she called them criminals and said that she didn't feel safe around them. On Sunday, Airbnb tweeted that the host has been banned from their platform.
Can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
What is your take on Airbnb?
I like Airbnb, actually. I've used it a few times, and for the most part, I've been very satisfied.
Would you be weird or would you be hesitant to book an Airbnb if you knew that there were going to be other people staying there?
Well, our first Airbnb was actually down in Savannah, Georgia, which was a situation of multiple people being there. It was a tad bit weird, especially since the owner of the house was hanging out a lot, and he walked around. He looked like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, like literally same hair, no shirt, linen pants. I mean, that was a little disturbing.
See, I would use it to rent a house for a weekend. I would use it to rent an apartment if I was, you know, visiting a city and didn't want to stay in a hotel or whatnot. But I don't think that I could rent a room in somebody else's house.
I will say after the Savannah experience, we have stuck to just renting like an entire apartment. And that works out much better, especially on business trips, because like I don't like being around people in general. So if I'm not in a hotel, I don't have to worry about interacting with anyone. I can just be in my Airbnb and relax and enjoy it.
Do you avoid hotels when you go on vacation?
I don't necessarily
try and get away with it or not really a thing.
I don't avoid it. I mean, I get good rates for being an employee, but I'm definitely open to Airbnb in it because you can get into more, you know, you can get into like more local neighborhoods and things like that where there aren't always hotels.
Got it. Like, I, you know, watching the video of our racist of the week this week, you've got a group of five that are that was in New York City,
correct?
Yeah. So you've got a group of five people that are visiting New York City and they're getting comfortable. They're enjoying themselves. And then you've got this older lady that like pops her head out of her bedroom and just starts yelling at people for making noise. Like, it just doesn't seem the way to go if you're on some type of trip where you're going to be trying to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and apparently these gentlemen were all coming together from different areas of the country, you know, a group of friends getting back together, going to New York City, and then getting thrown out and having to find a hotel room at 1 a.m. you know, on a Saturday night in New York City, isn't always the easiest thing to do.
No, I would say definitely not. I would definitely avoid any type of Airbnb where somebody else is going to be there.
We also did an Airbnb where other people were there down at the Jersey Shore, down in Atlantic City. That wasn't too bad.
What was not bad about it? I mean, you're hanging out with people from the Jersey Shore.
Well, we weren't really hanging out, so that was a good thing. That was, we were down there. That was the Dave Attell, Jeff Ross show. We went down and Airbnb'd it.
Bumping Mics.
Bumping Mics.
Which you can watch season one on Netflix, the three-parter. You may be able to see me in the front row during one of the episodes.
All right, I'll have to check it out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, getting back to Racist of the Week, we will have the poll up on the Facebook page. The woman's name was Kate, so we're just going to call her Airbnb Kate, going up against Kickapoo High School Racist. So yeah, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, and vote.
Wait a second, you've got Kickapoo with a K.
Right.
You've got Kate, Airbnb Kate with a K.
Right.
That's two Ks.
We're two-thirds of the way there.
One away from just a disaster.
It's just so much racism.
So much. Seriously, it was, what's weird is it was just a few weeks ago that you and I were struggling to come up with racism.
I mean, right around our one-year anniversary, racism appeared to be over.
It's kind of like on Christmas Day when the two warring sides put down their guns and meet in no man's land, share a cigarette, cup of coffee, maybe a beer if you have it, knowing that tomorrow they're going to go right back to fighting. But today, you know, war takes a break. And I think when people saw that we were coming up on our one-year anniversary, they sat there and said, all right, we gotcha.
And now it's back to normal.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Well, what can you do? All right. Next up, we've got Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, you had one of the all-time classic Beefs of the Week last week, so I'm going to start off with you. I think it was great. It was a fantastic story, better than Cats. I would listen to it again and again. So why don't you start us off with your beef this week?
My beef is very simple. Okay. It's not a great one. It is the New York City subway system.
Okay.
It is specifically the Grand Central Station subway entrance, where they have decided now to designate certain entrances as subway entrances, others as exits. And they have, so now they're herding us like cattle, where you're only allowed to go in one direction in specific exits. So they've got the employees with bullhorns literally repeating the, like a mantra of, this is an exit. This is not an entrance. If you're looking for an entrance, please go across the hallway to the right. And they're doing it during rush hour. And I just feel like New Yorkers, we should not be herded in mass. We should have a right to some level of self-determination. And I don't like somebody screaming in a bullhorn in my ear.
I think that's reasonable.
And I go through that subway. I use that subway station almost every day. So it's something that I've been dealing with for a couple of weeks. It is quite unpleasant.
All right. Well, hopefully that gets better for you sooner rather than later. My beef this week is taxes.
Oh.
It may sound like a repeat of one I did previously back when I filed my taxes, but this is it's an addendum to my previous beef of the week because I learned something new about this whole 2017 tax reform plan.
Let's hear it.
Where if you do not set up the proper withdrawals and you don't have enough withdrawal throughout the entire year so that you have a large tax payment at the end of the year, they will penalize you by charging you additional money.
Meaning that you're underpaying throughout the year?
Meaning that you're underpaying throughout the year. What they want you to do is they want you to pay a minimum of 90% of your owed taxes for the year throughout the year.
Of course.
And if you do not, if you fall below that percentage and have to pay at the end, they will hit you with a penalty for... Now, they won't let you know along the way, but they will penalize you for all 12 months of the year.
Correct.
Well, you are in HR, so you... know these kind of things.
Actually, no. I did my parents' taxes for years, and I knew that my father did not have money coming out of one of his pensions. He did not have taxes coming out. So every quarter, my mother would write a check to the government to ensure that they did not have to deal with an underpayment penalty.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, can now I tack apparently, on?
What's that?
Can I tack on to your complaint about taxes?
Of course you can.
This might be oversharing, and it may not be something suitable for public consumption, but
then
I'm going
to really
do it anyway. I'm going
to
do it. My last marriage ended with a, it hasn't ended yet, you know, for those people that still want to ask me for my divorce status. But we ended up with a debt that was owed to the IRS for something that had been incurred not by me. You may use the power of deduction to figure that one out. But so the IRS sent us a bill saying you owe us this money. So this year, I've been separated for 2 years now. So I filed, married, filing separately, whatnot.
Right.
So this year, I was supposed to get a refund of about $1,200 from the federal government.
And did that happen?
Those motherfuckers at the IRS send me an envelope that says not only did they apply my refund to that debt, but here is a bill for the balance. Please write them a check.
Motherfuckers. And can you dispute that at all, or is it just not even worth your time?
It's money owed. They take the approach of a married couple or in financial terms, they are one unit. So, I got fucked.
I got all excited because I was like, they give you, like, they say, oh, you can dispute this if you'd like.
Right.
And then you go to the IRS website and you can dispute it if you are age 62 or older.
Which you are.
Which I'm close. If you are a fisherman.
Which you are not.
Which I'm not, but I might need to go work on... what's that show? The Deadliest Catch?
Deadliest Catch.
Or if you paid at least a minimum of 80% of your taxes, which we did not. We were not even. We were both withholding incorrectly and just were not even in the ballpark.
And your wife works in what line of industry?
She is in HR as well, but she's more employee relations versus payroll. Payroll's a whole separate
department.
So
how do you not have enough coming out? How did you not have enough coming out?
We were both we both filed one when we should have been filing zero.
And that caused you enough of a tax burden that you owed?
With the new tax bill, you know what happened? We lost so many deductions throughout the year. That's how we got fucked over.
Because you can't claim those adopted foster pets as children
anymore.
Not
any longer, no.
Yeah, so what?
We cap our charitable contributions at $100,000 now. I mean, that hurts.
Wait a second, you're contributing more than $100,000 for charity?
I mean, we tell the IRS that.
How?
It's more like $20. So. No, we're not claiming that much. But okay, like the cap on the property tax... hurt us.
Here's another one.
Yeah,
I'm changing subjects because stream of consciousness. But I thought you were a major prick today. You were a major, major prick today.
I love this. I love people calling me a prick because I am at times, and I have a feeling I know what this is about, but maybe you'd like to enlighten our listeners as to why I'm a prick.
So a friend of the podcast, Jocelyn,
is doing a
fundraiser for something. I don't know what, but we can share a link if that's going to get me out of the shithouse for not remembering what she's raising money for. So
it's for suicide prevention, by the way.
Suicide prevention. Okay, then let's definitely send out a link.
All right.
Write that down, Ron.
Jotting it down.
And so you donated money to it.
Correct.
And I thought I was going to be very super clever. So I took what you had donated, which nowadays is... You know, because we live in a world that's run by social media, you can't just donate money anymore, but now you have to put your name on it and have a message so everybody else sees what you donated. So me trying to be a prick, I took the dollar that you had donated and I added a dollar more, kind of like the old Price is Right scam.
Sure.
Where they go $800, $801. and you called me out on something that was inconceivable to me that you would have been able to predict.
And?
Which was that the new thing now for these like GoFundMe type projects is that there is an option right before you enter process. There's an option where you can pay the processing fee.
Right. Which so I that's did way, not that do. That way the full amount of the donation goes to the organization.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. I didn't care enough at that moment. And I just sat there and said to myself, you know what? I'm donating money. Like, you know what? You can pay a little bit of the cost. You can pay the processing cost. And then you called me out on it an hour later without even knowing. That hurt. That genuinely hurt.
I had a very good guess that given the choice of paying the processing fee or not, you would not. And so, in effect, I actually donated 35 cents more than you. So, suck it.
Do you always pay the processing fee now?
I don't always pay the processing fee. It really depends on the amount of my donation. So, okay. I felt with the amount of this donation, you know, it was literally another $1.35. And I was like, all right. I can throw that in there.
So did you how did Alex's lemonade stand? For those listeners who are loyal, they know last year Ron, as part of his job and as part of just being the great man and human being that he is, he works with an organization called Alex's Lemon Stand, and if I remember correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong here, it is he's working with a group that was started by Alexander Sarsgaard. Famous actor.
You're a little off there again.
Already? Damn it.
Already, right so, off the bat.
So Alexandra Hoffenberg, she was an actress in Hollywood who basically sat there and decided that if she drank nothing but lemonade with a little Cajun pepper and some honey, she was going to lose a lot of weight. So as a result of her weight loss, and it's something that we... it has been passed around the Instagram quite a few times, you know, celebrating Alexandra Hoffenberg. The idea here is that you now, at once a year, sell lemonade to people.
You're a little off, but long story short, it's a lemonade stand to raise funds to help fight childhood cancer. So we were at last count when I left work, we were a little over $500 in donations against our goal of $750. So I'll be doing a push for people to donate and get us over the top if at all possible.
Wait a second, you only raised $500?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a buck a glass for lemonade. So,
but what about the online? Does that include the online? Online
added up as well. I really got to push the online because people need to pony up.
So speaking of ponying up, I'd like to point out, if people are sending their money out, we've got stickers. We now
have a ton
official
of
merch. We've got. I mean, this July 20th, Philadelphia Pod Fest. It's going to be off. I'd say it's going to be off the hook. It's going to be off the chain. But it just might be off our rockers because we're showing up with shit to move.
We got hats in today. We're working on magnets, lots of stuff. So we want you to walk away, and we want to be saying to you,
"You loved it."
That's right. We want you to love it, baby. All right.
Speaking of that, Spacey was in court this past week.
I saw that. They were arguing that the prosecution had held on to a cell phone or something along those lines. Tell me, you seem to be a little bit more versed on it than I am.
Well, considering that I'm the victim in the case, what the Spacey's lawyers were arguing was the fact that there is video footage on the claimant's cell phone that has not been part of the... of the case and has not been shared with the defense.
Okay. And did anything That's come it. Of that, or was that just a claim?
I moved on to the next story.
All right. Obviously, one of the bigger stories this week was our president, Donald Trump, making a state visit to the UK, where he was incredibly warmly received. I believe we have some audio clips of people outside of Buckingham Palace.
No offense, but burn in hell.
liked beer.
Oh, well, apparently Judge Kavanaugh was there. Yeah, if it's possible, I think the British have more disdain for our president than a majority of the U.S. population does.
Well, that actually goes without saying. I mean, the British have always felt that they're superior to us.
True.
The thing about America is the fact that, you know, half of the population is pro-Trump. So in any kind of group, you're bound to have some level of support, whereas the British see this as a new low.
And I think they were showing some of the approval ratings comparing to when Barack Obama was president and Donald Trump. And I think Obama had approval ratings like in the 70 percentile and Donald Trump was at 22%. And I love, you know what I really love is the
what
people
do you love,
that
Ron?
Get these big ass projectors and they can just project these big things onto full size buildings. So yeah. Somebody projected the approval ratings of Obama and Trump onto one building, and then on the top of one of the museums over there, because of the issue with the USS McCain, they literally shown a picture of a baseball cap with the USS McCain logo on it.
Logo. Very clever.
Just a lot of trolling going on.
What's nice about the projection is that you're not defacing public property,
no.
So it's not a crime.
Not at all. And they do it to the Trump hotels in D.C. now, and I just love it.
I think it's great.
What I also loved, and I pulled some audio here, Jared Kushner did some interview with a UK reporter, and just this is not the guy I would want defending me. Let's take a listen.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she has called President Trump a racist. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen him say or do anything that you would describe as racist or bigoted?
So the answer is no, absolutely not. You can't not be a racist for 69 years, then run for president and be a racist. And what I'll say is that when a lot of the Democrats call the president a racist, I think they're doing a disservice to people who suffer because of real racism in this country.
Was birtherism racist?
Look, I wasn't really involved in that.
I know you weren't. Mm-hmm. Was it racist?
Like I said, I wasn't involved in that.
I know you weren't. Mm-hmm. Was it racist?
Look, I know who the president is, and I have not seen anything in him that is racist. So again, I was not involved in that.
Did you wish he didn't do that?
Like I said, I was not involved in that. That was a long time ago.
The other issue that often gets brought up in this conversation is that he campaigned on banning Muslims. Would you describe that as religiously bigoted?
Look, I think that the president did his campaign the way he did his campaign.
He did.
And I think
wish he didn't. Do you wish he didn't make that speech?
I think he's here today, and I think he's doing a lot of great things for the country, and that's what I'm proud of.
So not a blistering defense of the president.
No, I would say it. Well, what I find most interesting and is that Kushner would be willing to sit down for this interview, because what I've seen of late is administration officials are making themselves very available to Fox News, where they know they're going to have it's going to be a friendly interview. It's going to be softball like questions. It's a format, and it's something where they're going to be able to work well with the interviewer. Or they go the opposite extreme, where they're going to go on Meet the Press or Meet the Parents, and they're going to be able to sit there and just have a openly hostile dialogue for 5 minutes, accusing everybody of lying. Here was someone who sat down on a one-on-one, so there really wasn't much place for him to hide. And what I think is great is his the way he absolutely refuses to address anything that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. He's just, and again, even if you wanted to lie and say, no, birtherism wasn't racist, like, he couldn't even bring himself to do that.
No, he it's so embarrassing because this is his father-in-law he's talking about. He's like, oh, you can't be a racist for 62 years. Hold on. The dude was a racist for 62 years. Like, just because, you know, like, where, you know, whether you may disagree that birtherism is racist inherently in the way they attacked Obama, but to sit there and say, oh, you know, simply because I'm having sex with his daughter does not necessarily, you don't know who the man is for the entirety of his life.
Right. And maybe Jared is upset because Donald wants to have sex with his wife.
Well, I want to have sex with his wife.
Yeah.
Only if she's wearing that maxi pad on her head. See those? There's something about women who are dressing up for fancy occasions that makes them want to wear a hat. And I don't know that those types of hat, like, you ever see the footage from like the Kentucky Derby?
Yes.
It, embarrassing. It, you know, fancy hats don't look good, period.
And also, I think kudos to the UK. A lot of tremendous signs that were carried while they were protesting. A lot
tremendously
of,
wet.
A lot of memes were out there. So I think one of the best signs I saw in the crowd said, you're not sending us your best presidents. Where's the one that got 3 million more votes? We like her better.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, one thing you will say about the British is they understand what President Trump's hot buttons are, and they're willing to just beat on them over and over again. You know, Obama, Hillary, John McCain, and they just fucking slammed into him with that. And that tuxedo that he wore to that state dinner, good Lord, he looked like 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
Do we wear tuxedos to the live podcast?
I think we have to now.
Like, I think we've got, is there any way that we could go into like Men's Warehouse and say, I want a Trump tuxedo?
I mean, I think all you really need to do is just ask for a jacket that's about 4 sizes too small.
Somebody had to measure him.
Yeah.
It's such a terrible look.
It was not good.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
You know, keep going. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go.
I was going to move on, but if you have something else.
Feel free to.
So there was, unfortunately, a couple of individuals that weren't around this week to see the Trump UK visit. That's right. We have some more celebrity obituaries. Brian, take this first one.
First one I'm going to start off with is the one that hurt me the most, Frank Lucas. If you lived in Harlem during the late 60s and early 70s and was a heroin addict, odds are you were shooting Frank Lucas's heroin. Dramatized in Hollywood in the movie American Gangster, played by Denzel Washington, Frank Lewis was basically a OG drug importer, basically using connections that he had during the Vietnam War. He basically smuggled heroin using the coffins of dead American servicemen, even though from the Golden Triangle in Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam, literally just pushed it into his own neighborhoods, Harlem, Bronx, as much as the community wants to celebrate him. He poisoned his own people and finally died at the age of 89.
All right. We also lost musician Leon Redbone, either at age 69 or 127, depending on who you listen to. Leon Redbone, the name may not be familiar, but if you have heard his music, you know the voice. Little Shine On Harvest Moon coming at you.
The night was mighty dark, so you could hardly see, cause the moon refused.
Brian, what's your favorite Leon Redbone memory?
My favorite Leon Redbone? Okay, I'll share it with you.
All right.
I was wondering who Leon Redbone was and why he was so important to you. And then I started reading his obituary and I saw that he died in Bucks County, PA.
He did. A lot of people don't realize that. So a local boy made good. Better than Justin Guarini.
What is your... Dr. Pepper!
Little sweet.
What is your favorite Leon Redbone, considering that you actually know who he is?
My favorite would be his Budweiser commercials.
Which was?
I don't know. He was in a Budweiser commercial in the 80s where he just used that low voice. And he also did a version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, which, as we know, is Brian's favorite holiday song of all time.
Inappropriate. Wildly an inappropriate song. It's basically date rape.
Wildly inappropriate.
It's date rape
favorite.
While drinking eggnog. I can't support that.
So rest in peace, Leon Redbone and Frank Lucas. We also noticed this week we had I think our typical thoughts are that Catholics can be horrible people, but I think we found a bunch of stories this week.
Hold on. The church is filled with horrible people. I think that the your average day to day religious person, I would not go so far as to say they're horrible.
Thank you for clarifying. So we should.
Your average priest is probably fucking young boys and is going to somehow make themselves look good in the process.
Odds are if you're tied to the church or a Catholic school, there's probably some shady shit going on there. So let's look at down in Louisiana, or I shouldn't say the school is in Louisiana, but the school was visiting Washington, D.C., where the Catholic school principal ended up going to a gentleman's club. What was the guy's name here? I had his written down and I've already lost it. Well, anyway,
did he use the ATM machine?
He did. He argued about the $15 fee, but apparently he was drunk in a strip club in Washington, D.C. while he was chaperoning a trip with students from the Holy Family Catholic School, which is a K-8 school in Port Allen. He did not want to pay his bill. He was intoxicated. He was arrested and faces charges of public intoxication and possession of an open container of alcohol. He also had a rescue animal with him. Still not
exactly. He was rescuing animals at the same time?
He had a service dog with him at the same time at the bar/ strip club. So he has since resigned as principal. But yeah, I mean, I get it. You're traveling with a group of kids that makes you want to drink, regardless of how religious you are. But Amen. Maybe going to a strip club is not the best idea. And if you do decide to go to the strip club, maybe conduct yourself in a way where you don't get arrested.
Or just pay your bill. I don't think most people want to have their name in the paper the day after they go to a strip club. For going to a strip club.
I mean, I will say this. If a co-host of a successful podcast can manage to navigate an ATM and pay his bill at a strip club, I think everybody can.
Oh, I paid that bill like 3 different times.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Just pay your bill. Come on, those girls are working hard for their money.
Now, another story we saw here out, this is a Kentucky pastor who was arrested on child sexual exploitation charges after police said he tried to arrange a liaison between himself and two other girls. Bobby Blackburn, who ironically goes by the nickname BJ, is the pastor of Elevate Church and owner of Giovanni's Pizza in Prestonburg. And he had actually made the news a couple of years back in 2016 when he vowed to continue playing Christian music and printing Bible verses on receipts at his pizzeria. In spite of customer complaints, he said at the time, "We here at Giovanni's are unapologetically a Christian-based business that runs and operates with Christian values and principles." Apparently, that Christian values and principles also means that you are going to text message underage girls that work for you, asking her and another pizza shop employee to engage in sex with him. That girl went to the police, showed them the text messages, filled out a statement, and he would turn himself into police, was arrested, and released on $5,000 bond.
I'm glad she went to the police.
I mean, that really is, you know, the thing to do, because old men are disgusting and they should not be. I mean, it's one thing also, you know, if you're a boss, you know, and someone works for you, probably shouldn't be trying to have sex with your employee, even more so if they are underage.
What if you're the operator and owner of a NFL football team in the, say, New England area?
I think probably not either. I don't think it's right there as well.
Interesting. Interesting take.
Call me a stickler. Call me a prude, but that's just the way I am.
I've called you worse.
What I also love is the police had obtained a warrant to search this guy's phone, but he threw it in a river. Because people apparently still think that's going to protect your information if you throw your phone in the river. Like, your carrier does not keep a copy of every single piece of communication you transmit on your phone.
But they do.
They do. So he is going to learn that the hard way.
Did you also have the Catholic priest who tweeted about Pride Month? And that all good Catholics should keep their kids away from homosexuals because it's damaging to children.
Yeah, he pretty much got ripped up on social media.
Did he get ripped up?
I think even Dave Bautista tweeted at him because apparently Dave Bautista's mother is a lesbian, and yeah, he took personal offense to that also.
Well, she wasn't always a lesbian.
Not always, clearly, because Mr. Bautista's here. But yeah, I mean, again, you have to look at the optics of a situation, and if you are part of a profession or part of an organization that is known worldwide, not just in your community, not just in your state,
worldwide
as sexually abusing children on an ongoing basis, maybe this isn't the hill you want to die on.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Pride Month?
How
are you participating in it?
I'm participating in it?
How are you?
How am I participating in it? I mean, I don't know that I am. I'm not against it. You know, I support LGBTQ all year long. You know, I feel
good answer. I think rights are rights.
Love is love. Humans are humans. And if anything, it is sad that we still need to have a Pride Month. It's sad that there's still issues. You know, for people that are homosexual, for people that are transgender, especially, you know, because they are more and more getting their rights stripped away from them by the Trump administration. It's just bad that we continue to have to do this.
I just read earlier today that Trump is doubling down on his ban of transgenders in the armed forces. And the reason that he gave was that the cost of the medication is outrageous.
Yeah. But he's also claiming that transgender people join the military just to get their surgery paid for.
Right.
So a man who lied about having bone spurs because he didn't like the Vietnam War is going to disparage people that volunteer to serve our country.
He didn't like that war.
He didn't like it. He wasn't a fan of it.
He didn't like that war.
He didn't feel like he
wasn't a fan of the war.
And I also see where they're now going to have a straight pride parade in Boston because there's some knucklehead that wanted to organize that and threatened to sue the city for discrimination. So we will be following that because I feel that will end very badly for everybody involved.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of Tommies and Fitzies and Sullies showing up with cases of Sam Adams. And they're just going to be drunk.
I just feel that, and again, I think this guy arranged some sort of event out in Boston before that like 50 people showed up. I think this will again be an embarrassment for him, as it should be, because he's clearly a knucklehead. Also, this past week, a lot of video from an Inside Edition interview with Kenneth Copeland, who looks, I mean, he's 82. He looks like he died about 20 years ago and has been embalmed, but the man is a little bit nuts. And so we pulled some clips here. This is one from when the reporter first hits him up trying to ask him about his private plane, his three private jets actually that he has.
Who is Kenneth Copeland?
You don't know Kenneth Copeland?
I do not know Kenneth Copeland.
He is one of he's a televangelist. He's one of these mega preachers. He's estimated to be worth something along the lines of $760 million.
Oh my goodness.
Which he has defended because he invested $25 million in 2018. And he also said that Jewish people, quote, believe in wealth. So obviously he's a real good guy. But so this Inside Edition person tracked him down, asking him about his private jets, one of which he recently purchased from actor Tyler Perry.
Isn't it true that you want to fly commercial so that you can fly in luxury? How much money did you pay for Tyler Perry's Gulfstream jet, for example?
Well, for example, that's really none of your business, but...
Isn't it the business of your donors?
Listen, I paid. You kind of caught me off guard here, okay? Thank you, Lord. Help me. Just let me pray.
Lord, help me. Let me pray for a minute. Let me pray.
I'm going to pray the gay away.
So he's got these glassy eyes, these embalmed-looking skin, horrible hair, and just goes on.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper with a toupee.
Yeah, And he goes on to talk a bit more about how Tyler Perry gave him such a good deal, he had to buy this plane.
A lot of people think it's unbecoming for a preacher to live a life of luxury and to fly around in private jets. What's your response to that?
Very simple. It takes a lot of money to do what we do. Without the airplane that we have that I bought from Tyler Perry, and I didn't pay anywhere. Tyler's one of the greatest guys. He made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
Now listen, I'm not going to begrudge Tyler Perry having a private jet. Like Tyler Perry.
Listen, when you if you're going to make 18 Madea movies, you deserve a plane.
Listen, I mean, I've never seen a Madea movie, but clearly neither people like him. I mean, I don't like Larry the Cable Guy either, but you got people that, you know, obviously hit a certain population that enjoy their entertainment. So I don't mind Tyler Perry having a plane, but
you might be a redneck.
Exactly. So he goes into talking about these demons that he's trying to avoid.
You said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. Do you really believe that human beings are demons?
No, I do not. And don't you ever say I did. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers.
Whatever the fuck that means. And he, like, gets all in her face. Don't you tell him, say that I did. And he also, I cut a lot of this down because this was like a 12-minute interview. But he throws a lot of babies and I like the way your eyes look and all this other stuff.
Oh, did he pull the Joe Namath?
Pretty much. It was disturbing. So, and she just kept pounding away at him, and he literally justified everything that he did for his wealth.
To those critics that say that a preacher should not be living a life of luxury, what is your response to that?
They're wrong.
So there you go.
Oh, wow.
Hey, you know what? Fuck all y'all. You're all wrong. And then she even threw some scripture at him. And he has something to come back with for that.
The Bible also says that it's more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, correct?
The rest of the scripture. But he said, all things are possible with God.
With God.
With God.
You loved it.
And that's like, that is the, I guess, the catch-all. For any of these nut job preachers, all things are possible through God. So I know what every other thing in the Bible says, but I'm okay doing what I'm doing because all things are possible through God.
They're taking money from low income people and moderately income people who are trying to, you know, improve their life so this guy can just be wealthy. It's just a shitty inverted pyramid.
Yeah, it is. So spend the money in your community. There are probably people that could do better things with your money, people. Don't give it to these mega preachers.
Did you hear the story about the... I'm just changing subjects. But did you hear the story about the YouTuber? And right, whenever I hear the phrase YouTuber, I already get...
Your asshole puckers up a little bit?
A little bit. But did you hear about the story about the YouTube kid who is just sentenced to jail for 15 months for giving a homeless person Oreo cookie that had been filled with toothpaste?
I saw something about that where he had made up these cookies and shot a video about it and made fun of the guy saying it was probably the first time his teeth had been clean in a while.
It's some kid in Spain who decided he was going to make a great YouTube video. What he did was he took apart Oreo cookies, swiped out the cream center, filled it with a toothpaste, closed it, and then gave it away to homeless people while videotaping him doing so. Hopefully this story gets more traction because I am sick and tired of, and this might be my beef of the week number two.
Okay.
I am tired of watching, this new breed of social media prank videos that really are just unnecessarily fucking with people.
Right.
Like I've seen people go into, fast food places and they complain because, you know, they didn't get the burger they wanted. And you see the poor kid on the other end of the counter is just trying to do their job. And it's all just to try and act outrageous so you have some content to put on your Instagram page. I'd love to see all these people get taken down.
Yeah, I think this is kind of an offshoot of what the Jackass guys used to do. The difference is they used to just do it to themselves. And now,
yeah, they did it to themselves.
And now people seem to feel it's okay to, you know, abuse the homeless, abuse
or just,
service
no,
it's workers,
abuse strangers. It's right. Abuse strangers. That's the, you know, it's not about doing it inward, but it's about making other people look bad. And it's a trend that is bothering me,
and understandably so.
There you go.
Also this week, the Florida deputy that did not go into the Parkland school during the shooting last year, who knew the gunman was on the loose, he has been arrested on 11 criminal charges related to his inaction during the massacre that killed 17 people. Scott Peterson, which is a really bad name to have. The original Scott Peterson who killed his wife really ruined it for everybody else, but then this guy is really making it extra bad for anybody out there named Scott Peterson.
I would say so. What is your take on this?
So
I mean, he's the kid. The guy was a he wasn't an official police officer. They called him a school peace officer.
Right. He was a resource officer that day.
Armed. Mm-hmm. Armed to with the goal of keeping the kids safe. A school shooter, a kid shows up with a semi-automatic AR-15, 47, 58, Ike, and the resource officer, instead of actually going to try to stop it, he actually sought cover and stayed outside of the school, never engaged the shooter.
Right. I mean, my take on it from Peterson's side is, here's a guy who, you know, he's in his late 50s. If you see his picture, he looks like he's in his 70s. So I feel like he's one of these police officers that was like, all right, I'm going to transfer. I'm going to be a resource officer. I'm going to, you know, provide security at a school. And I'm just going to try and ride this out till I can retire. Probably never thinking that he would be in a life and death situation.
Okay.
The problem is I'm sure the scope of his job said, you know, you need to defend these children in a life or death situation.
Yeah.
So while I can,
that's what he's there for.
Right. So while I can, you know, understand his natural reaction to be hesitant to put his life on the line, because maybe that's in his own mind, that's not what he signed up for. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, that is what he signed up for.
That is your child. I mean, it's the same thing to me as the people that volunteer to go into the armed forces and then are somehow surprised that they're being sent off to war.
Right.
They're like, oh, I didn't sign up for war.
Right.
I just signed up to go to Europe, and live on a base. And it's like, well, no, you signed up for the armed forces and you knew this was a possibility.
Yep. So he's been charged with child neglect, culpable negligence, and perjury, because apparently they've determined that he lied. He said he did not hear any shooting, and videos and witnesses have apparently contradicted that. I mean, this was a pretty thorough investigation they've done over the last 14 months. They conducted interviews with 184 witnesses, reviewed Jesus. Hours of surveillance videos, and compiled 212 investigative reports. So he had tried to retire rather than face suspension. He has actually now been formally fired, which means he has lost his pension and his benefits, and he was jailed on $102,000 bail. His all these charges add up to about 100 years in prison if he is convicted on all of them.
There you go.
Now, what is also interesting is that there is another officer that was fired. This, you know, because for similar reasons that day, but was not charged. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure his lawyer will probably try and pull that into play and see what the difference was between the two. The other thing that was interesting in reading the updates on this, Nicholas Cruz was the kid that committed the shooting.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk his name. We do not speak his name.
So the shooter, his lawyers told the state that the shooter would plead guilty in return for a life sentence, but prosecutors have refused that offer because they want to pursue the death penalty.
Good for them.
So they're
going
all in. And to be honest, I'm okay with that. You know, this is an individual that I don't feel should be walking the planet.
I think that we should be, I think that the death penalty is something that we should be actually enforcing more, not less.
And so anyway, the shooter will go on trial, expected in early 2020, so we'll keep following that story. You and I had a conversation prior to recording this. You know, we had another shooting this past week in Virginia Beach where 12 mm-hmm. people died during, including the shooter. And then we also had a situation this past week where a man literally set himself on fire outside the White House and died. Mm-hmm. And within less than a day, those stories had burned themselves out. No pun intended.
Yes. Yes.
So is it a case of we've become that desensitized to content like this, or is there just so much going on and people are just like, well, why keep dedicating all these hours to shootings when nothing's going to happen because of it?
I think that it's the 24-hour news cycle.
Okay.
And I don't believe, I'm not going to go online of that it's the liberal media that we need to lie about what's going on. But I think that it is just this insatiable need for the next story. You know, you've got you've just got this beast, which is 24-hour news. You need to be able to be talking about something that's taking place now, not yesterday. And I think it has numbed our sensitivity. I mean, for one, when I read that this guy shot 12 people, my first reaction, in all honesty, was, oh, it could have been worse.
True.
And then the next day I was like, this is the worst workplace shooting that's taken place on this in this country ever. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm surprised the number is that low. Used to just these mass shootings that I was surprised that 12 is a big number when it comes to this.
But we're not as used to people setting themselves on fire intentionally.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And that was, to me, very surprising. And what was also surprising to me was the amount of video and photo that was available of that, because you had people that saw this happening and their initial instinct was, well, I got to record this.
Oh, I would have done the same thing. You wouldn't have?
I.
What are you going to do? You're watching a man who just lights himself on fire walking through a park, and you're going to sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to go get help?
No, I would hope that would be my first response.
Nope. You know what? We'll try it out. Okay. I'm going to hire a homeless person on July 20th to show up to Tattooed Moms on
520 South Street.
520 South Street. I'm going to have a homeless person show up, set themselves on fire, and we're going to see how you respond.
All right. Can we get a Ron and Brian logoed blanket for me to douse the flames with?
Of course. Right. It's got to be flame retardant.
Awesome. One last thing we caught this week going out to Idaho.
AIDS?
What's that? Oh, sorry. We did not. Not yet.
You said we caught something this week.
So Jonathan Parker, he was the former chairman of the Idaho Republican Party. He has been arrested on a felony first-degree stalking charge. Apparently, his wife filed for divorce from him in March. There was a temporary restraining order relating to children and property that was issued. And apparently, he repeatedly disguised himself with a wig and masturbated while hiding in bushes near his wife's apartment complex.
Yeah.
His lawyer called the situation a, quote, grand misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah. No. Misunderstanding. Yes. That was he did not mean to be doing that.
I would love to hear that explanation. Like, listen, we've all accidentally put on a wig and started to masturbate.
Haven't we all done that?
I mean, I've done it at least twice this week so far.
There you go.
So anyway, he is facing 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000. Next court date is set for June 14th. Now, that's the kind of story that gets traction. That's the kind of thing that people want to see these days.
Now, can we follow this case?
I can.
We have weekly updates?
I can do a little Google alert for that if you'd like.
I would love that. Do we have a, have you done a Google alert on Ron and Brian podcast?
I have not, but I probably should do that.
I think so. I think we need to do that.
We're getting big. I don't know if you've heard, but we're part of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
We are?
Saturday, July 20th, 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m., Tattooed Mom, 5th and South Street.
I like the fact that we're starting off the day.
Yeah. We're leadoff. We're batting leadoff. We are we're the Ricky Henderson of podcasters, is what it comes down to.
I like it.
And we're going to knock it out of the fucking park. So
let's do it.
Go to our Facebook page. You'll see the event listed there. If you can make it, please knock it down. We'd like to see how many people we're going to have coming that day. Go vote in the poll for This Week in Racism, suggestions for Drink of the Week, as always, greatly appreciated. Or even if you just want to say hi, we'd love to feel the love from you folks. Brian, what else you
Absolutely.
Got this week?
That's it.
All right.
I got nothing but love for you.
All right, fantastic.
That's how I'm celebrating Pride.
All right, I got love for you too, my friend. So we're going to be out of here. We will catch you all next week. Again, thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, share, and we are out of here.
Peace. Boom.
Can you give me some relief?
I like beer. They deserve to die. I hope they burn in hell.
I thought the bitch was wild.